How is your prayer life? What did you pray for this morning? Did you pray this morning? You see, when you pray, you're inviting God to come into your life for just a few moments each day. And if you study the Gospels, it does not take long to discover that prayer was a priority for Jesus. It was a priority for him and whatever he did in his life. You may have heard what's said, when all else fails, pray. I don't like that statement, because that statement kind of suggests that prayer is a last resort. It's not a first priority. And Jesus taught us it was a first priority. Think about it. When you say, when all else fails, pray, what you're really saying is, when I've tried everything else, when I'm at the end of my rope, when I've used all my power, when I've used all my resources, then and only then will I go to God. I don't think that's what God had in mind when he gave us this beautiful, wonderful gift called prayer. I think he wanted us to have a tool that could basically communicate with him, and that he would know our heart and we would know his heart for what he has for us today. You see, Jesus' prayer was not a last resort. Prayer was a first priority. And at times, Jesus' prayers were very brief. In the four Gospels, he feeds the 5,000. It's mentioned four times. And each time that's mentioned, he prayed very briefly, just a prayer of thanksgiving. Sometimes his prayers were all night long, such when he prayed before he chose the disciples, or the night before he went to the cross, he prayed all night long. Jesus understood that he needed to pray, and that's what he did. When he was baptized, Jesus prayed. When he chose his disciples, Jesus prayed. When Peter made a great confession, Jesus prayed. When he fed the 5,000, Jesus prayed. Before he raised Lazarus from the dead, he prayed. And before the crucifixion, he prayed. And on the cross, he prayed. There's kind of a message there, is it not? There's a common theme. Jesus prayed. And so it's important for us to learn from the Master about that idea. Now, what it asked me, if Jesus thought prayer was so important, it should not be our last resort. It should be the opportunity for us to connect with God in a very special way. Prayer was so much part of Jesus' life that one day, after spending a season in prayer, Jesus made a simple request. The disciples made a simple request. Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples. You know, I find it interesting that the disciples asked Jesus to teach them to pray. In fact, it's the only time in Scripture that you find that the disciples asked Jesus to teach them something. Think about it. He didn't say, Lord, teach us to cast out demons. Lord, teach us to walk on water. Lord, teach us to heal the sick. No. Lord, teach us to pray. Why was that such a vital part of their question? Lord, teach us to pray. Because I think what happened was the disciples, every time they saw Jesus pray, something exciting was going to happen. Something different was going to happen in their life. They were going to experience a supernatural power that God and God alone can give, but it all began with the prayers of Jesus. Lord, teach us to pray. So why do the disciples want that? Because they desired that intimacy with God. And isn't that what we all desire, intimacy with God? That's the promise we have. Now, that word intimacy has been hijacked by the world. We kind of think of intimacy as romance and loving and all that. But intimacy basically is broken down into the word intimacy. In to me, see. In to me, see. And that's what we're inviting God to do. God, look into me and see what I need. That happens through prayer, and that's exactly what happens at that time. If we are honest, many of our prayers are bathed in crisis and in times of when we pray for a loved one. We pray when there's someone is sick. We pray when we face difficulties. And many times we pray as a last resort. If all else fails, prayer. But prayer is more than a last resort. Prayer is the bedrock. No, prayer is the lifeline that connects us with Jesus Christ and with God the Father. That's why Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray continually. The King James Version has a better rendering. Pray without ceasing. Isn't that something? Now, some people think that just means you're supposed to be constantly praying. I would not recommend that you close your eyes on I-75 and pray. You'll probably see Jesus quicker than you think, okay? But seriously, pray without ceasing means to have an attitude of prayer. You know, in the Old Testament, if the people of Israel wanted to pray or to come and communicate with God, they had to take the trek to Jerusalem. Whether you were in Galilee or Nazareth or Bethlehem or any of those other places, you made a trip to Jerusalem. And there in Jerusalem, then you would bring your offering. And then at that time, you would bring your prayers. And you remember there's a famous one where a publican and a tax collector and a Pharisee are praying. Remember the Pharisee? Lord, I'm glad I'm not like him. He is so bad. He is so wrong. But I'm righteous. And then the publican, who didn't even lift his eyes up to heaven, offered a prayer. Father, forgive me. Which one do you think the Lord honored? Which one do you think the Lord honored? He honored the one who came to him in contrite minds. And praying without ceasing is basically this, having an attitude of prayer all the time. You don't have to go to a Jerusalem. You don't have to wait till a special time. You don't have to wait till Sunday. No, you can do it anytime. That's the access we have to the Father at that time. Paul said in Romans 12:12, he urges early Christians to be persistent in prayer. And in Philippians 4, he says, don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. You see, Paul, like Jesus, understood how important prayer really was in their life. He understood that connection, that lifeline that brought them together. They understood that completely. And in the hustle and bustle of this world, and the times that we spend so much time going from here to there and back again, it is good to know that we can stop and we can rest. And we can rest in the arms of our Lord, who will listen to us and whatever we have to say. He will make that opportunity for us. Whether it's a moment of thanks or a plea for struggle or a reflection on our journey, prayer is the most important part of our life with God. It connects us with him, and that's why we call it prayer as our lifetime. You see, prayer makes the difference. It truly makes the difference in what we do. Listen to what it says in James 5. If any one of you is suffering, let him pray. If anyone is cheerful, let him pray. If any one of you is among the sick, let him call the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil and in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will bring that one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. If he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another. Pray for one another that you will be healed. And the prayer of a righteous person will have great power, for it is working. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. He prayed fervently that it would not rain, and it did not rain for 3 years and 6 months, and it did not rain. Then he prayed again, and heaven was open, and it rained again. Pray when you're suffering. Pray when you're cheerful. Pray when you're sick, and pray for one another. And then he gives us this example of Elijah. And I love the verse there because it helps us to understand these Old Testament characters. Don't you think sometimes when you read these Old Testament characters, these Old Testament heroes, they were super Christians? I mean, David picks up a stone, takes out a giant. Moses begins at age 80. See, age 80, Roger, 80. And he continued to lead the people into the promised land. Joshua, over and over, takes down the walls of Jericho and conquers the promised land. Over and over again, these superheroes. And then we have Elijah, who, amazing, read 2 Kings and find out just exactly this man, Elijah. But what I like about this verse in James is it simply says, Elijah had a nature like ours. He was like us. And he was not super Christian. There wasn't a big E on his shirt, on his robe that went, hey, I'm here. No, he was just like us. And he prayed and it stopped raining and he prayed again and it began to rain. Prayer is effective when a righteous person begins to pray. And that's exactly what God asked us to do. Well, after Jesus talked about giving a prayer and teaching them how to pray, Jesus gives them a sample to follow. A very simple structure to follow. Now, Jesus is not telling his disciples this is the only way to pray. But he's telling them a simple way or pattern that we can pray. When he says that he basically is giving them prayer 101, a simple structure to follow. I attend a church this past Christmas time, and every year They say the Lord's Prayer before the preacher speaks. Every year, every week they do this, every simple week. And to them, the prayer connects them with God once again. But it's not what we have to pray, that formula prayer, but it does give us some information on how we should pray when we come to the Lord. And you may remember some structured prayers that you gave to your children when you were growing up. You remember this one? God is great. God is good. Let us thank him for our food. By his hands we are fed. Give us, Lord, our daily bread. There we go. Or how about this one? Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray mom doesn't find the pet snake.
No.
It's very important that some structures will get us in trouble, okay? But God has given us a very easy structure that we should follow, a structure that will teach us how important prayer is in our life. And that structure Jesus shares is very easy for us to do. It goes simply like this. Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Matthew's gospel adds, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our sins, and as we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. Note the pattern. It begins with what? Father. 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 It begins with that Father. Lord, he has a relationship with us. He is our Father and he is our Lord. It's an amazing combination that we have at this time. He's our Father in that he loves and cares for us, but he's also Lord that he has everything under control. And those 1-2 punches really help us to grow in our faith and our prayer as we gather together. Second, he talks about what we should pray for. He says, give us our daily bread, physical nourishment, forgiveness of sins, undeserved grace, and spiritual protection from the evil one. In other words, there's not a situation in life that we cannot go to God for and know that he can answer us in that time. Our dependence on God is a central aspect or a central element of who we are and who God is in our life. Prayer is important because it keeps us close to God in that time. When we pray, we're opening up the heart of God and him pouring out our greatest needs. Now you go, well, God knows everything already. Yes, but he wants us to pour it out, to speak it. Because when we speak it, it acknowledges that we trust him and him alone to provide whatever our needs are at that time. And here's the key. The closer we are to God, the closer God becomes to us. You say, how do you know that? James 4:8, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Prayer helps me focus on truly what matters in our life. Prayer is important because we see God, or we see life, through a heavenly lens and what he says to you. And that's why, after having a pattern to follow and a simple request, Jesus begins to share a direct promise. And that's what focuses us this morning when he says this. So I say to you, and as we ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who seeks finds, and everyone who knocks, the door will be open. We are come to God in a very special dynamic way, asking, seeking, and knocking, knowing that our God will hear us and listen to us at that time. I was so blessed to grow up in a Christian family. And if you grew up in a Christian family, you understand what that means. And for those of us who did not grow up in a Christian family, hopefully you'll understand what I'm about to say about the Father. My father would listen to myself and my brothers about what we needed. Sometimes he would say yes, he would answer that prayer, or he'd answer that request. Sometimes he'd say not now, and sometimes he'd absolutely would say no. But I knew this, I had his ear. I had his ear. It's the same way with God. Sometimes God says, yes, I'll answer that prayer. Sometimes he says, wait. And sometimes he does say no. But when he says no, we know it's because he loves us and cares for us and creates us. And because of that, we can trust him in what he does and what he says. Ask, seek, and knock. So my question this morning, after having that's the introduction. Now, we're not going to go all much longer, okay? But that's the introduction. How do we pray like Jesus? Because I don't think there's a person in this room who's going to say, boy, I would love to pray more. I would love to be thinking about that when a crisis comes in my life to think, I got to make my first response, not my last resort. I want to be that way. So how do I pray like Jesus? Well, let me give you some ideas that you can do that. Number one, set aside some time to pray. Set aside some time to pray. And I would encourage you, maybe you set aside some time in the morning. I would not recommend setting some time right before you go to bed, because what I know, my own self, it's like this. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for the way I'm... Lord, I'm back. no, but you may be a night owl, and that would work for you. It will not work for me. But take some time each day to set aside some prayer time. Set that some time. Second thing I would tell you to do is find a sacred place. Now, when I mean sacred, I just mean a specific part. It may be your back porch or your back patio. It may be your dining room table. It may be your bedroom. It may be your den. But set aside a part where your place becomes a holy place, where God will meet you and you will spend time praying with him. If you do that, you'll begin to see how much God is working with you. The third thing I would say is remove distractions. Remove distractions. Turn off the TV. Put down the iPhone. Send the kids out. Whatever it takes. But set aside get rid of those distractions. Because the world is calling all the time with their voices. I'm currently reading a book called Think Ahead, and it says, and I couldn't believe this when I started thinking about it. It says that every one of us, each morning, each day, make 35,000 interruptions. 35,000 decisions are caused by interruptions. 35, that's just hard to imagine when we make that many. But that shows you how, when we're trying to pray, all these things are just coming at us over and over and over and over. So we need to set aside those distractions so we can spend time praying to God in that time. Fourthly, pray specifically. Pray specifically. Now, you men, and some women, I'm sure, when you hunt, there's two guns. There's a rifle, and there's a shotgun. Sometimes we pray like a shotgun. You know what a shotgun does? It scatters, right? You shoot, and the buckshot goes out, right? It just goes out like that. And I think sometimes we do that with our prayers. You ever done this? God bless the missionaries. That's a shotgun prayer. I would like for God to say, which one? How do I bless them? What do you want me to do? See, a shotgun prayer is not very effective. It's okay, but it's not very effective because it just sends out the information, God, pray for this. Or, God bless me today. And at the end of the day, you go, was I blessed? I don't know. I got a speeding ticket. I got this happened here. I don't know if I was blessed. But a rifle's pinpoint accuracy, sharpshooters. Lord, bless this missionary in Cambodia. He's under a lot of stress right now. Protect him and his family. Watch over him. May his message continue to be spoken from. Give him courage to speak as he needs to speak. What was the difference? Lord, bless the missionaries, or Lord, and being specific. You know what happens when you're specific? It doesn't change God. It changes you. Because all of a sudden, you begin to look at that missionary in a different way. You begin to think about him in a completely different way, because all of a sudden, you realize he has needs, and you have the power to help him out just in the power of prayer. And you may be moved to action to go make a missions trip, to give sacrificially to that missionary, or whatever God is asking you, but pray specifically for what you are doing. Jesus did that, did he not? Give us this day our daily bread. He didn't say, Lord, just take care of our food. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us as we forgive others. Lead us not into temptation. Specific prayers is what he was doing. And then fifthly, keep track of your prayers. Keep track of your prayers. Because here's what happens. You begin to have a prayer journal or prayer diary, whatever you want to call it at that time, and begin to write those prayer requests down. And then go back a couple of days later and see how God answered those prayers. And what you'll notice is that we have an active, living God. See, sometimes we have a prayer request night on Wednesday night. We have a prayer, and then we go out and we forget about that person. But if we write that prayer request down, we'll go back and say, oh, that's right. I've got to pray for Marge. Marge is having surgery this week. I need to keep her in mind and praying for her. Again, you're praying what? Specifically, especially for what you want to see in her. You continue to do that. and it will change how you see at that time. You know, I'm often amazed how God works in our situations. But why shouldn't I be? Creating planets was no problem for him. Don't you think he could handle any of our problems? Think about it. He created the whole universe. Why do we make it a last resort instead of saying, Father, help me? You know, one of the greatest prayers in Scripture is found in Matthew's Gospel. It involves Peter. Peter is walking on the water, and he's out there walking on the water with Jesus. The reason he's out there is because they see Jesus, and Peter goes, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come. And Jesus says, come on down. And he gets out, and he walks on that water, and everything's going great. And all of a sudden, the waves come up, and the shortest prayer in the Bible, Lord, save me. Three words. And Jesus reaches down and pulls him up from what Peter thought was a near-death experience at that time. Lord, save me. If you've prayed that prayer, you're on a great road to having a prayer like Jesus, because you understand exactly what Jesus wants you to do. He wants to save you, and it all begins with a relationship. Prayer is the lifeline that happens. So this week, I hope that you'll make space for God someplace. I hope you'll take some time to carve that out. I pray your prayers will be bold, that you'll pray specifically for things. But most of all, I pray you will pray like Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for this day. Father, it is just amazing to think that you give us the ability to communicate with you 24/7. We don't have to go to a special city. We don't have to go to a special day or a special event. You're just ready for us anytime. And when we pray, Lord, you have the ability to move heaven and earth for us. We are so blessed with this gift of prayer. Thank you for the privilege of allowing us to hear us. Thank you for the privilege of allowing us to be here today to worship and to hear once again this wonderful lifeline that you give us called prayer. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.